It's time for All Things Northwest with Northwest Missouri State University President Dr. John Jasinski. Each month, Dr. Jasinski visits with community and educational leaders about exciting developments and collaborations happening throughout our region. Support for All Things Northwest comes from Family Eye Clinic in Maryville. Dr. Drew Garwood offers patients eye exams, diagnosis, and treatment of eye injuries, as well as glasses and contact lenses. And now, the 10th president of Northwest Missouri State University, Dr. John Jasinski.
Welcome to this month's edition of All Things Northwest, a show devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We highlight the great work and the great play, the collaboration, and the developments throughout our region. And please know, there's so much to celebrate. The glorious month of June is upon us, and we hope you are enjoying the beginning of summer and the many wonders it holds. We here at Northwest Missouri State University and your public radio partners, KXCB, KRNW, are pleased to welcome you to the June edition of our show. We'll provide two segments this month. In segment one, we feature Missouri State Senator Dan Hageman from the 12th Senatorial District and Missouri State Representative Alan Andrews of District 1. In segment two, we feature Nathan Wright. He's the lead digital marketing specialist for Hy-Vee. Dr. Deb Toomey, Northwest Missouri State University Assistant Professor of Marketing, and Northwest's Teresa Gustafson, a development officer in Northwest's University Advancement Area. Thanks for joining the All Things Northwest team, and we hope you enjoy this month's edition. To begin, I welcome Senator Dan Hageman and Representative Alan Andrews. Senator Dan Hageman was elected in November 2014. He's a Republican and represents the 12th Senatorial District, which is comprised of 15 counties throughout Northwest Missouri. Senator Hageman currently serves as a Community Affairs Manager for Kansas City Power and Light. A former Missouri State Representative, Senator Hageman also serves as President of the Andrew County Farm Bureau. He's a lifetime farmer and is part owner of a six-generation family-owned row crop and cattle farm in Andrew County. Senator Hageman and his wife Fran live on a farm near Cosby and have four children, Heidi, Joshua, Hannah, and Joseph. Representative Alan Andrews, a Republican, represents Atchison, Holt, Nottoway, and Worth counties, that's District 1, in the Missouri House of Representatives. He was elected to his first two-year term in 2014. In addition to his legislative duties, Representative Andrews is the owner of The Wool Shop, which has been specializing in lamb's wool cleaning products since 1983. Representative Andrews currently resides in Grant City with his wife, Robin. They have three children, Mitchell, Kristen, and Luke. Dan and Alan, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thank you.
You bet. It's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to visit with the great Northwest constituents.
Well, I'll tell you what, you guys have been great because I've seen you at legislative coffees or breakfasts and heard your kind of review of the legislative session. So we thought we'd do the same for All Things Northwest listeners here. So for both of you, Missouri has a constitutional requirement to maintain a balanced budget. And as you think about your roles in the Senate and certainly in the House, how important is it that the budget process is followed, that both of you really adhere to it with regard to all of your constituents? It's a pretty important piece of your job.
It is. The budget, that's one of the main things that legislatively, one of our main responsibilities is making sure that we do have a balanced budget. And we're proud to say that we did. We put through a good balanced budget this year without having to add any new taxes. We saw some good things go into it.
You bet. The budget process is one of the most important things that the legislative branch of government does. And the state of Missouri is very proud of our credit rating, the fact that we do have a balanced budget. We have institutionalized some tools to ensure that we remain balanced. But, it always comes under pressure. We've got just so much discretionary funds called general revenue, and a lot of demands on those funds. You know, in the past few years, we certainly like to do more for education. This year, we did $70 million increase to the basic foundation formula for K through 12 grades, and made a nice contribution to higher education as well, a 4% increase there. But we have these struggles in the fact that the social programs continue, and Medicaid in particular, continues to eat up year after year the vast majority of that increase in the discretionary funds that we have. And that's what makes it very difficult for us to look at opportunities to expand the Medicaid program, because we've got the other issues, that we'd like to fund: education, roads, public safety. And that's the balancing act that Alan and I have to do every year as we put forth the budget.
Well, we certainly, in education, thank you for your support. I'm going to come back to education in just a few minutes, and we'll talk about Medicaid, Medicare, and so on. But before we do, let's kind of take a look back at the 2016 legislative session. So in your eyes, Senator Hageman, Representative Andrews, as you think through the key accomplishments of the 2016 session, maybe describe those for our listeners.
Well, we had a number of accomplishments. I had some bills that I passed that I certainly like to look at, and some great discussions on some other bills out there. We did some tort reform bills, trying to make Missouri a better place to do business, so that those businesses will hire more people and that they'll bring great jobs and good jobs to our communities, which make our communities stronger. Always looking for ways of trying to strengthen our communities out there. We passed a bill that would allow the Department of Natural Resources to work with some of our smaller communities with some programs that are more cost efficient for those communities in dealing with their wastewater programs. That's an issue that I continue to struggle with. These wastewater mandates that come down, quite honestly, from the EPA, from the federal government. How do we as a state deal with those and try to help our small communities, quite honestly, survive? I just mm-hmm. These mandates just are almost to the absurd, what they're asking for our small communities to come up with. And so there was a bill that would allow for some biological methods of treating wastewater as compared to mechanical methods, and certainly may cheapen those mandates up for some of our smaller communities. And that was just a minor touch of some of the great things that we did this year.
Sure. Representative,
it was interesting that in the very beginning, the House leadership came out actually prior to session beginning, and wanted to make sure that we hit ethics reform head on. And there's just has been a growing distrust in government, and rightly so. And so the House wanted to do everything that we could to try to build some of that trust back in, with our citizens and to let people know that we are serious about ethics reform. And so we had House Bill 1979 that it requires a waiting limit, waiting time of 6 months prior to a legislator leaving office and becoming a lobbyist. A lot of other ethics reform bills that didn't get through, but some I think we're going to continue to work on that as we go on. That's been something that was a good accomplishment. Another accomplishment that we saw was voter ID. It was House Bill 1631, and there's varying views of position on that. That some people say, well, is there really any voter ID fraud in the state of Missouri? Is there voter fraud? And there are some legislators in St. Louis that say, absolutely, there is. I don't think that we really see that in Northwest Missouri by any means. But we believe that, as society continues to change, that we need to put some of these, in place, some of these bills in place to be able to kind of safeguard our election process. Some of the other things that we saw was regarding agriculture. We saw saw a good ag bill go through, and part of that was SCR 58. It was legislation that we We rejected a recommendation by the Missouri Tax Commission for a 5% increase on ag assessment, ag land assessment. And so we were able to stop that. We were able to put on a tax deduction for disaster payments for our farmers. I think that was a very good thing for their for the loss that they suffer on that. You know, it's and of course, you know, as we'll talk about some of the education bills, you know, we saw some good education bills go through, and you know, that's one of the great things about the Missouri legislature on both sides, in the Senate and the House. You know, we really take serious education, and we see the value in that, and we put the money there, and it's good to see.
And I want to follow up on, boy, a lot of issues to talk about here. So follow up on the ethics piece just briefly. So good start. It sounds like perhaps there may be some future movement towards other ethics measures. Is that your sense?
Yeah, I think so. The House did a great job of pushing forth a number of ethics bills. The Senate, in our traditional fashion, took time to ponder those issues and work through them and slowed some of those bills down. Some of them weren't able to get passed on to the governor because of our deliberations and our slow, methodical fashion in the Senate, very thoughtful. Really laud the House for being able to pass a number of bills to give us the Senate some opportunities to really to move forth on some good, and I would say first steps on towards ethics reform.
And Representative, you had mentioned that, you know, there's some distrust in government, state, national, local, whatever the case may be. But I want to make sure All Things Northwest listeners hear from me. I'm your host, John Jasinski, here at Northwest Missouri State University. I want to make sure our listeners hear that our state senator, Dan Hageman, and our representative, Alan Andrews, have just been excellent with regard to interactions, not just with me, but with area leaders from all sectors. Listeners, we don't always agree on every topic, nor should we, by the way, but you guys listen, learn, take in information, ask for more clarification. And I just wanted to thank you, because from a trust point of view, I will tell you that those interactions are very trustworthy. So I just want to put that out there. Let's talk about, you go back to the budget just for a tad. So you passed the balanced budget. Excellent. You've got a lot of demands from all of us, including in our case, higher education, saying, oh, you know, we need X, Y, or Z. Medicaid is a big factor in all that. So, Senator, maybe you can kind of expand for our listeners just a bit on that topic.
Yeah, I think we've seen other states that have expanded their Medicaid, and now they're having some financial difficulties in balancing their budget. State of Illinois is yet to pass a budget. I think Missouri, being our traditional cautious show-me state, have moved very slowly towards increasing the Medicaid rolls through the Accountable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare, and I think that's served the state well in the fact that we're not facing those same budgetary challenges that some of those states are that have aggressively moved forward on that. You know, there's a lot of debate on whether we should have done that or shouldn't have done that. And I think that there are areas where we could look at maybe in the future to do some Medicaid assistance. Dental care is a great example. You know, investing in dental care actually saves the state of Missouri money because people aren't accessing emergency rooms for dental care. And so that's one example. If we can up the reimbursement on dental care, get more dentists seeing people, that actually saves the state of Missouri money. There are other areas where we just got to be very cautious about that, because we do want to make sure that we have resources to attend to the other needs of the state of Missouri as well. And it's difficult. These are difficult discussions, but that's what Alan and I signed on for, is to carry the good, logical Northwest Missouri conservatism down to the state capitol and methodically work through these and help people where we can, but be cautious and careful about using our state resources.
Senator, continuing on in that healthcare vein, you have spoken frequently about palliative care and the bill that you sponsored, and talk about why that's so important to you and what that's all about.
You bet. The palliative care is a bill that I had up last year and also put forth this year, and we were able to get passed. What it does, I liken it as a cousin to hospice care. But whereas hospice care would deal with people at the end of their life, palliative care deals with people with long-term serious illnesses. What comes to mind is cancer, you know, with a cancer diagnosis that's very demanding to a family and an individual. And palliative care brings those resources to the family and individuals that just as hospice care does at the end of life. These can be dramatic instances that really affect a family in total to a great extent. Personal example, you know, my parents just passed away, and we really enjoyed the services of hospice care in that regards, and it helped our family cope with that end of life for our parents, and it helped us move forward. What this bill does, it sets up a commission that will actually try to heighten the awareness of palliative care within the physician community as well as in the hospital community, and try to make those services available to people just as we do with hospice care. And so that's the purpose of the palliative care bill.
Okay, thank you for that. And if we can transition now over to education, both of you talked about support for K-12 and for higher education. So maybe again for our listeners, what was the support, why, and kind of what's next for education?
Well, again, as the senator was saying earlier, that we did see record funding for K-12 education, a $70 million increase for the foundation formula. And we saw a 4% increase in the funding of for public universities, and that I believe that was around $37 million, which it goes to show that our legislature is serious about education, and we value that, and we see that that's our future, but it's also our today, you know. So I mean, it's very important that we continue to fund education and at a high level.
You know, I agree. Funding is a big part of education, and I think Alan and I are both happy that we were able to get $1 million in for the Northwest Missouri State University for some emergency assistance for the administration building. That certainly was a need, and we're pleased that our colleagues saw fit to help fund that and take care of a need that we have up here at Northwest Missouri State University. And I also was very happy to get Mike Thompson appointed to and support his nomination for the Coordinated Board of Higher Education. Mike's been a strong advocate for education, and you came up with a higher education founding formula, and he'll be a tremendous asset for the state of Missouri to have on that board.
Mike's a good one to still have on speed dial.
He's
a good one to consult with.
I'll tell you what, the K-12 colleagues, I know they're very appreciative of the funding formula support. I know higher ed colleagues are appreciative. That's a 4% increase. I know in our case, as we think about our budget discussions here locally at Northwest Missouri State, as we think about revenues and expenses, I mean, we take every dollar that we spend. We're stewards of the public's money, so we take it very seriously in terms of the increase, tying it to our strategic planning and where we're headed in the future. So we're appreciative of that. And certainly, as you mentioned, Senator, both of your support for the administration building goes a long way. We know that that's the iconic building here in Northwest Missouri. We know that it's the birthright of Northwest Missouri State, 1905. And in fact, by the way, gentlemen, here, right in June, we enrolled our first student, Eliza Munn, June 11th, 2006, so 110 years ago, right now. And so the administration building needs a little bit of tender loving care, and that money does help us address some emergency repairs there. There were a lot of bills in higher ed that also passed. We won't kind of get into all the details of those, some that did not pass. But as you think about education in the future, both of you mentioned that it's not just today, it's in the future. But where do you see support for K-12 and higher ed headed in the future?
You know, I am very supportive of our public education in K-12, and I think that We up here in Northwest Missouri do a fantastic job of educating our kids. Our schools serve our citizens well up here in Northwest Missouri. You know, I continue to strive to make sure that those schools are taken care of. Hey, again, it's a budgetary process to make sure that they're funded adequately to take care of the needs, that we don't put too many mandates upon them, that we have a curriculum that is Missouri-based, as we just adopted some Missouri standards. The State Board of Education this year went through an extensive process last year and came up with some Missouri standards as to how we educate our kids in the state of Missouri. So I was happy to see the State Board of Education do that. You know, we just need to continue to support, you know, K through 12 education, but higher education as well. We all hear the stories of how much debt our students are coming out of higher education with, and so we need, in the state of Missouri, need to do what we can to help keep those tuition costs down. And I may say, as having two students that have gone through Northwest Missouri State University, I appreciate how Northwest Missouri State University has done a good job of keeping the tuition down and making it affordable for students to still be able to come here and get a great education and move forth and succeed in life. And that's I laud you and the university in that regards. I've got a daughter that's going to Mizzou as well, and I really appreciate the affordability of Northwest Missouri State University.
Thank you.
You know, in Northwest Missouri, you know, our schools, our teachers, our university, we do so many things right here. And, you know, being in the legislature, you have an opportunity to sit down, you visit with people from all over the state, and you visit with different universities, you visit with legislators that and talk about their school districts. And you know, it's a matter of pride that, you know, that we see so much in Northwest Missouri, that, you know, the way we're educating our young people, you know, people can look at us around the state, and we're a beacon, we're a shining example of what to do right. And you know, it's just a, I see going forward, I think that the legislature on both sides, I think in the Senate and the House, I think we're going to continue to value education. I think we're going to continue to support it. The new foundation formula for K-12, I think that will be a step in the right direction. You know, I think that, you know, there's a lot of things going forward that we're going to have to take a good strong look at, but I think overall the support will continue to be there.
And I do want to mention too that from Northwest Missouri State's perspective, we have focused on access, affordability, and quality. We've focused on keeping the tuition down, as you say, but also as we think about it, we all know that state funding across the nation has been a struggle, certainly. The 4% increase that we're receiving allows us to get back to about pre-recession levels, not quite, but just about there, which is great. It's a step in the right direction. But I think it's important for listeners of All Things Northwest to hear that Northwest Missouri State University is looking at its strategy in the future, tying any sources of funding to that strategy. So it's not just state funding, by the way, but we're reallocating our own resources. So we're not saying, let's just keep doing what we've been doing, but not all programs and services and all that were put in 50 or 40 or 30 or 20 years ago still are the right ones. They were the right ones when they were put in, but we have to rethink those and reallocate. So we're reallocating quite a bit. And also from a partnership point of view, public-private partnerships, outside funders, grant funding, philanthropy, and so on. So we think about a 3- or 4-legged stool of funding, not just going to the state. And I think that will serve mm-hmm. us well over a longer period of time.
Hey, you know, talk about return on investment. You know, the $617 million economic impact from Northwest Missouri State is astounding.
Well, you know, I appreciate you even pulling out the exact number there. That's great. But we do love that economic impact study. So education, then you talk about rural communities. What are some challenges that both of you see with regard to rural communities? And I know that your service area, you know, certainly is focused on that.
You know, one of the challenges I see is just helping our rural communities deal with some of their infrastructure needs. And in particular, water resource issues is big for my area. You know, in North Missouri, we have a hard time finding good sources of water. You know, we can't drive wells and find good sources of water from well water. So a lot of times we have to look at impoundments, you know, lakes to provide that resource. And so I had a bill that took a program, an existing program within the Department of Natural Resources called the Multipurpose Water Resource Program, and enhance that to try to bring it up and give some good foundation of that to address some of the ongoing needs of these infrastructure needs dealing with water all across the state, not just Northwest Missouri, but all across the state. We've got a couple of lake projects here in Northwest Missouri, one in Caldwell County, one in Sullivan County. There's also some efforts to try to provide some transmission of public water in Southwest Missouri. And these type of projects come up. They're big, expensive projects. And so we're looking at a program that invests a bit of state resources to begin with, but then as these programs get up and moving, those resources are reinvested, come back to the state in kind of a revolving loan type of fund, and to help stimulate this and to provide resources for other large-scale water resource projects. And we're really happy to address some of our community needs in that regard and to move forth on that.
In our rural districts all across the state, you know, we're seeing a continual decline in population. That's one of the things that I'm really concerned about and focused on is, you know, why do we continue to see this rapid population loss? And out of the top seven counties in the state of Missouri who have the highest rate of population depletion, in my district, District 1, which makes up Nottoway, Atchison, Holt, and Worth counties, we have three of the top seven counties in the state. You know, it's Atchison, Holt, and Worth County. Along with that population drain, we see that wealth drain. Money moves along with the people. And so, you know, it's a real concern of, you know, what can we do in our rural communities to be able to change that trajectory, to get people, our young people, what can we do to make them stay, to incentivize them, give them the ability to continue to stay here and raise their families and do their business. And so, you know, I think that, you know, we have a lot of, I think we have a lot of opportunity. I really do. Even though we're challenged greatly, but I see that we have a lot of opportunity to move forward in that direction and to try to stimulate more job development, new business startups. I mean, that can get exciting. And, you know, the way technology is today, you don't have to be in an urban area before you can start a highly successful business. So, you know, you're able to be located out in the middle of nowhere and through the use of technology, be able to have a highly successful business. And that's what, you know, I know that's something that Northwest Missouri State is really focused on, and I'm glad to see that. You know, with the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, I know that there's a lot of ag-based issues moving forward in that direction. I think that it's a perfect mix. You know, we have an opportunity to really, really affect the region and to be able to turn that around. And so it'll be interesting, you know, to see what happens as we go forward in that.
And I'm glad, Representative, you bring up ag, because I know both of you, Senator and Representative, your ag ties, your ag roots, your support for the agricultural industry. It's so very important, and we're proud at Northwest Missouri State University to be able to say that our ag enrollment's up 30% this fall over last fall, which was an all-time record.
Wow, that was fantastic.
But as we support movement in terms of our R.T. Wright Farm and Agricultural Learning Center and so on, this is another important avenue with regard to entrepreneurs, business development, and really working in future sessions to uplift the ag industry. So thank you for your support there. Let's talk a little bit about opportunities or challenges. Senator, you previously served as a representative. You've now transitioned into the senatorial role. As you reflect on the last few years of your service and coming back into the General Assembly, what's been, you know, some of the opportunities that you've had or some challenges that you've faced?
Well, the opportunities, when I was a state representative before through the, in the 90s, I was always in the minority party at that point. Now that I've come back to the Senate, I've joined the majority party. So it's nice to be able to move your bills through a little bit quicker, a little bit more expedient, you know, and so that's you know, one of the biggest changes I've seen between the two. One of the more challenging aspects of moving from the House to the Senate is that slow, deliberative pace that I talked about. The fact that any senator can get up and speak on any bill to the nth degree and basically filibuster on each and every bill sometimes, it seems like. That I find that somewhat frustrating because, you know, here we are wanting to move these bills through, try to get some ethics reform done. And I understand that's the purpose of the Senate, you know, is to be that slower-paced deliberative body. But I do find that somewhat challenging and frustrating, especially when you've got some great ideas, some great legislation out there that you'd love to see get passed that dies or is not able to make it through because various of my colleagues and sometimes myself like to get up and pontificate to the extreme.
And Representative, I'll not describe the pontification that you provide, but it's excellent, Senator, when you do. We're appreciative of that. Representative, new to politics, first term. What are some of the challenges and opportunities you've faced?
You know, I think one of the greatest challenges that I see is seeing the good that you can do, but being unable to attain it. So let's say you have a piece of legislation that you really see that it's going to affect people, it's going to be a good thing for people. And it might be a simple bill, but see it get stuck in whether it be the House or be stuck in a Senate committee or whatever it be, you know, where it is just painstakingly slow in order to move legislation through. So I've had to remind myself over the last couple of years on multiple occasions that this is a good thing, you know, the slow process, because, you know, you see some bills that wouldn't be a good thing for us. And if every bill went through quickly, then, you know, I think a lot of it is what, maybe not necessarily what we can pass through, but what we can prevent from passing.
Well, I know, again, on behalf of the listening area of KXCB KRNW, certainly all those that you serve, we appreciate your service, and sometimes we don't say it enough, but we do thank you both for all that you do for our great state. That's Senator Dan Hageman and Representative Alan Andrews. Thank you for joining All Things Northwest.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure.
When we return to All Things Northwest, we'll visit with Nathan Wright, Lead Digital Marketing Specialist for Hy-Vee, Dr. Deb Toomey, she's an Assistant Professor of Marketing at Northwest Missouri State University, and Teresa Gustafson, a Development Officer here at Northwest as well. They'll be talking about NACTIV. It's a student-run advertising agency here at Northwest. Has a great track record. It's part of our profession-based experiences. We're very proud of it. You are listening to All Things Northwest on KXCB Maryville, KRNW. Chillicothe.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Atchison Holt Electric Cooperative, providing power to members in Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa. Atchison Holt Electric reminds you to be safe this planting season by knowing the locations of power lines and keeping farm equipment at least 10 feet away. More information is at ahec.coop. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Clarinda Regional Health Center. Celebrating its 75th anniversary, CRHC has been providing health care in Southwest Iowa and Northwest Missouri since 1939. More at clarindahealth.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from United Electric Cooperative, providing power to members in Missouri and Iowa. United Electric reminds you to be safe this planting season by knowing the location of power lines and keeping farm equipment at least 10 feet away. More information is at ueci.coop.
Welcome back to the June edition of All Things Northwest. I'm your host, John Jasinski. We'll now visit with Nathan Wright, Dr. Deb Toomey, and Teresa Gustafson. Nathan Wright began his career in the advertising agency world, where he developed digital media strategy for clients of all shapes and sizes. His interest in social networks led him to entrepreneurship and the formation of Lava Row. It's a consulting firm dedicated to helping large corporations navigate the ever-shifting digital media space. He currently leads digital marketing at Hy-Vee, a supermarket retailer with over 235 stores and $8 billion in sales. Dr. Deb Toomey is an assistant professor of marketing at Northwest Missouri State University. Deb has been at Northwest since 1997. Initially, she worked in administration as the coordinator of student orientation and transfer affairs, also the assistant director of advisement and the associate director of admissions. Deb began teaching full-time in the Booth School of Business in 2006 and has worked with the NACTIV program. We'll be focused on that here in this segment. She's worked with the program since its creation and as a NACTIV instructor since 2012. Teresa Gustafson is a development officer in university advancement at Northwest Missouri State University and has been in that role since 2005. She has worked with NACTIV, helping obtain clients since its creation in 2010 and with our first class in the spring of 2011. So up first, we'll welcome Dr. Deb Toomey and Teresa Gustafson to All Things Northwest. Deb, Teresa, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Deb, maybe you can take a stab for our listeners with regard to describing this program we call NACTIV. What
sure.
is it?
Sure. NACTIV is an interdisciplinary, interactive digital marketing agency that is student-run. We have students from multiple departments, marketing, computer science, art, communication, and those students work in a team and try to develop the best possible campaign for our client. So we use their different talents, or what we call NACs, and pull those together to come up with the best possible campaign for the client.
And maybe you both of you can take a look back at the creation of NACTIV. How did it come about? And really the timeline. I mentioned the timeline in the bios there, but kind of clarifying how many years and so on.
Back in 2008, we had a graduate, Bill Price. He was a 1960 graduate from Northwest who owns and runs Empower Media Marketing in Cincinnati, Ohio. And he had come to us as an alum with an idea of what he was looking for his business and what he looks for in graduates and what kind of skills he wants them to possess. So he came to us with this idea of the interdisciplinary piece, and we got together a panel of faculty to kind of listen to him and what his desires were, and put a panel together and came up with the idea, the conception of this NACTIV. And that's when the various interdisciplinary faculty got together and came up with the group.
So great beginning there. Then from a timeline perspective, Deb, you know, how did it take shape in 2009, 10, 11?
Sure. So from that first initial discussion, we looked at how could we prepare our students for the first day in an agency. And that was something that Bill Price had mentioned, was that there was a lot of training that was necessary because students come out of college and they've worked in silos, essentially. So instead, this allows them to work together just like they would if they were on an agency team. So we investigated a lot of different agency models and visited various places to see what kind of teams they had. And that's what led us to the initial team composition that we have and have been modifying each year, but that was the initial one.
And Deb, if you can talk about team-based, interdisciplinary, that's the student side, but also I know that Teresa, you work in helping secure clients. Deb, the clients have different attributes, if you will. Maybe you can talk about the attributes, and then Teresa, you can talk about your role in helping secure those clients. So the attributes of clients, Deb.
Sure. So our typical client is somebody that is willing to work with students, very open, willing to share and critique and give feedback to our students, but also somebody that has an identified problem, an issue that they are wanting to solve. And they can convey that problem or that issue to our students so that they know what their role is for the agency or for the client through the agency. So that's the first thing, is to try to identify clients that have that need. Maybe it's a new product, a new product line. Maybe they would like to change their branding. Every client we've had so far has had a different need.
Okay. And Teresa, your role in helping secure and maybe some of the clients in the past.
What I have done as a development officer for University Advancement is I go out and visit with alumni and prospective donors all of the time. And so I just try to market NACTIV to the business person that I'm visiting with. It could be a corporation. It could be an individual that maybe has their own business, single business that can network for us, maybe have ideas. I can explain to them the concept of NACTIV and what it is. And there's a lot of support and interest and excitement when they hear that we have a student-run ad agency on campus. And so I just try to network with people and find prospective clients that maybe at some point in time, I can set up an appointment for the faculty, or at least one of the faculty, to go with me on a visit to discuss the possibility of clients.
And some of the clients that we've had in the past?
The first year, we had LASIK Eye Surgery Center out of Cincinnati, Ohio. We have had Hy-Vee Corporate. We have had Science City in Union Station in Kansas City.
Tri-State. We've had Tri-State, Tri-State Ford here in town,
here in Maryville, and then
Engage.
Social media out of Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Yes. So some excellent firms, but focus on working with students, which I think is very important from an attribute point of view, and certainly providing feedback to students and so on. So that's a great lead-in then to bring in Nathan Wright from Hy-Vee. As I mentioned in the intro here, Nathan currently leads digital marketing at Hy-Vee. And Nathan, welcome to All Things Northwest.
Thanks for having me.
Can you talk to our listeners about why Hy-Vee decided to collaborate with Northwest and our NACTIV program?
Yeah, so we always think it's important for students, college students, to really immerse themselves in how companies work, whether that's at the ad agency level or internal marketing departments, which we were really representing in this project, and also to give them a good sense of all the diverse skill sets needed in this very changing landscape.
Well, we appreciate you doing that, Nathan, and maybe you can talk about the Hy-Vee project in terms of the identified problem, what it consisted of, and what your company wanted to accomplish.
Sure. So this project was specific to our Market Grill restaurants, which most of our newer stores and some remodeled stores have these restaurants now actually inside the grocery store, and they're called Market Grill. They're branded separately. The problem that we, or the challenge that we gave the student groups was help tell the story of why there's suddenly a restaurant inside a grocery store. There's sort of a perception there that that's potentially strange, or it's kind of a foreign concept to a lot of people. So why does Hy-Vee suddenly have 80 of these out there? They were kind of just set up overnight, and that was the challenge, is help us tell this story. Why is the food good? Why is it better than other options? And why should you check it out?
And what happened with regard to the NACTIV students and what they put together, and how did they help make this less strange, if you will?
Yeah, so they all had different approaches. They were all really impressive. Each group told the story a different way to help with that challenge. A lot of them focused on the strengths of Hy-Vee's culinary expertise that we already have in the store itself, like behind the meat department or the produce section, and helping people understand that the food that is served in our restaurants is not thawed out in a microwave like a lot of the more like fast casual places or dining options, but it's actually similar to product that you could buy fresh in the store, and for the most part it is prepared from scratch.
And Nathan, as you think about interactions with students' perception of the NACTIV program, how would you describe your interactions with the students?
They were good. They were all very professional. All of the groups really focused in on individual strengths. We felt that they picked the right people to either do the presentation or focus on digital pieces or creative aspects. So we thought they self-organized pretty well. And they really got to know the Hy-Vee and the Market Grill brand as well. They did a lot of research ahead of time.
And how do you perceive the NACTIV program in general and how it's helped Hy-Vee accomplish what you wanted?
So we certainly have a lot of things to think about and probably a couple of things to take action on based on the ideas that came out of it. And overall, we were impressed with the program, and I wish that I had experienced something like that when I was in college.
Well, we appreciate Hy-Vee being a client of NACTIV, and I'll come back to you in a moment, Nathan, but Deb and Teresa, maybe for our listeners, take them through the setup of NACTIV, how many students, how many teams, what they actually do.
Sure. There are 32 students in the class, four teams of eight. All eight members have a specific role in that team, and it is competitive, so there is a winner at the end of the NACTIV program for that year. So they are very private with their materials. They don't share them with the other teams. As I mentioned, we have students from the art department, from business, from computer science, from communication and advertising, and they all bring those unique skills to their team.
And Deb, I know that several faculty members interact with the students, obviously along with the Nathans of the world who are at the client side, but how do we keep faculty up to date and current throughout this whole process?
Sure. So even though the class is only offered one time a year, the faculty work on the NACTIV program year-round. We spend our summers visiting different agencies in the area and try to determine how to meet the needs of our client that's upcoming. So we research the industry that they are in and do additional secondary research or primary research if necessary.
And Teresa, what kind of feedback have we received from clients?
It has been excellent feedback. When I go out and visit with prospective donors and alumni and tell them about NACTIV, they're all very impressed. The feedback that we've got from the clients has been fabulous. I know that it's a competitive thing for the students, and they like to walk away with a winner, so to speak, but the real winner is actually the client, because the client walks away with four marketing plans, and they get all of the materials and the rights to those plans, so they can use, there's a lot of variety that they're presented with, and they walk away with a lot of in the package.
And before I come back to you, Nathan, Teresa, if someone's listening to the program and wants to, you know, maybe explore being part of the NACTIV program, what can they do?
The first thing that I would suggest is if they get on the Northwest website, they can type in NACTIV, and that's K-N-A-C-K-T-I-V-E, in the search bar, and it'll come up, and our NACTIV website is there, and there's tabs across the top that say overview and all kinds of information, but there's one that says become our client, and there's a client request form that they can fill out to kind of give a summary of what their problem, so to speak, is for their company, and then the NACTIV faculty get those client form request forms, and they kind of then we would go interview the business to see if they're a good fit for the students, for the faculty, and if we're a good fit for the business.
That's great. And Nathan, as you reflect on Hy-Vee's experience and certainly your personal experience with our students, what are some of the takeaways that you have in working with Northwest Missouri State University students and faculty?
My biggest takeaway is the professionalism and maturity that we saw there, and real attention to detail in the project plans and the research.
Well, Nathan, thank you very much, and we appreciate Hy-Vee's willingness to be part of the NACTIV program. We appreciate Hy-Vee in general, just for all that you do for communities across all the stores and the regions that you serve. So thank you for joining All Things Northwest today, Nathan.
Thank you.
Okay. And Teresa Gustafson and Deb Toomey, thank you for joining All Things Northwest. Deb, thank you to you and the entire faculty that served NACTIV, and Teresa, all of your work with regard to helping grow NACTIV and keep it obviously up to date. So thank you, ladies, for joining All Things Northwest.
Thank you very much.
And that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank our guests, Senator Dan Hageman, Representative Alan Andrews, Nathan Wright, Dr. Deb Toomey, and Teresa Gustafson. Thanks, too, to our producer, Karen Lawrence, a student here at Northwest Missouri State University, along with KXCV General Manager Rodney Harris. Friends, take good care, treat each other well, provide good works for others, and keep celebrating and advancing our region. I'm John Jasinski, and thanks for your support of All Things Northwest, Northwest Missouri State University, KXCB, KRNW, and Public Radio.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from Family Eye Clinic. More information is available online at familyeyeclinic.net or at 660-582-5222. Theme music for the program was composed by Northwest professor Dr. William Richardson. The music was recorded by vocal music education major Jordan Andrews, piano, music major Daniel Bates, bass, audio and production major Mark Ludwig, drums, and Dr. William Richardson, trumpet. Join us again next month for All Things Northwest.